Hulk, back in the UK, and some a few special reasons, really. We just saw last night the end of the British Boot Camp, the reality show, and I tell you what a show that was. I'm not just saying that because you're here and you're in my face.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm really
yes,
not.
You are.
That was a brilliant piece of television. Tell us, for anyone who perhaps didn't see British Boot Camp, just tell us sort of what it was and how it went.
Well, it was all about trying to find a specific piece of talent that we needed to fit a specific groove that we were missing in TNA Impact Wrestling. And at the end of the day, we started talking about all the American wrestlers, and then we started mentally thinking about where could we go. And I said, oh my gosh, it's a no-brainer. The finest talent in the world is right here from the UK. If the history books were to be open, from Big Daddy to Haystacks to the Rollerball Rocco to British Bulldog Davey Boy Smith, Dynamite Kid, on and on and on. You know, there's a wealth of talent here. So we decided to put out what we would call a shout out or a casting call. And we had no idea we would have hundreds of youngsters that were very talented, very capable. And the hardest thing was to narrow it down to the four people we had in the finals, the Blossom Twins, Party Marty, and Rockstar Spud. I felt horrible about having to choose someone because I wanted all four, you know, pieces of talent. I was very selfish. I didn't want to eliminate anybody. So that's what it was. It was British Boot Camp was a search by our company, Impact Wrestling, to find a specific piece of talent that would help us move forward way beyond where we're at.
So over a course of six episodes, which were shown over about the course of a month, there was the four competitors, Marty Scurll, Rockstar Spud, and the Blossom Twins. And I guess they were in a series of challenges or a series of... It kind of wasn't like I'm trying to think of like Survivor or Big Brother. It wasn't quite like that, was it? It was kind of like different assessments, whether it be their skills in the ring or their abilities to talk or something like that. And it came down to the last episode and you had to make a choice. Now, tell us about the guy that you chose to win.
Well, when you talk about the assessments and trying to find out what these people were made of and the challenges that were thrown in front of them, we were trying to find out if they had the it factor to the core. I mean, you can teach people certain things. You can, you know, people can regurgitate or repeat certain things, or people can imitate like a parrot certain movements or certain verbiage or a cadence. But we were actually looking for that it factor, the instinct in the talent that would take us somewhere we needed to go. So when we got down to it, like I said, it was so hard for me to even make a choice. That's why we have the Blossom Twins and Party Marty on the tour with us, because we're going to give them another opportunity to move forward with us. But we had to pick one. We had a specific need, and Rockstar, the Rockstar was without a doubt the most charismatic, the most aggressive, that he had the most instinct out of anybody we had at the time. So that's why we chose him.
He is a terrific performer, whether it be in the ring or whether it be his character or whether it be his way he can talk and all kinds of things. The one thing that arguably counts against him, but you can argue the case, is that he's not very big. He is about the size of your leg. He's not a big guy. But does that kind of work for him, or will that really work against him when he's in the big-time American circuit?
Well, those rules have changed. If we're going to go by those rules, very few of the wrestlers you see on TV today would even be in this business. Because if we're going by the rules of the 80s, I was 330 pounds and I was a medium-sized guy. I had King Kong Bundy and John Studd and, you know, Don Morocco and Andre the Giant and, you know, Tugboat and Earthquake and, I mean, you know, all these guys, you know, that were the main event guys were monsters. So if we went by those rules, any of the guys you see on TV today, it would be a question if they would even be in this business. But the business has reinvented itself. The business has changed. And it's to the point now that size doesn't matter. I mean, there are certain situations where if you got a little extra weight, things could lean in your direction. But basically, the moves, the speed, like I said, the instinct, the charisma, the level of performance really leans towards being a little smaller nowadays. These guys do more moves in one match than I would do in a whole year. And the business has changed. Everything moves faster. The matches moves faster. The storylines move faster. So in this instance, the Rockstar Spud, his size works for him.
He's earned a TNA contract now. So what happens to him from here now? Is this he moves to America, moves to Florida or wherever, he gets to wrestle full-time, you know, TNA on all of the TV shows and all of the arena events. What happens to Spud now? How much, I suppose, does his life change?
Well, that's not completely in my control. It's not completely in Dixie's control. Basically, I would say 90% of it lands in his lap. If he steps up and he woos the crowd, if he steps up and has six-star matches, if he steps up and really makes this work, he's going to be someone we can't live without. He will be someone that, as you watch the demos, you'll see the demo that Spike TV in the United States and Challenge has cater to him. You'll see the minute by minute when he's on the show, you'll see spikes in the numbers. So it's pretty much up to him to control his destiny at this point. We gave him the opportunity. Now it's up to him to take advantage of it.
So he really has that chance then to, you mentioned some of the names earlier on, Davey Boy Smith or whatever, guys who've come from the British scene, have gone to America and been, you know, big-time stars. Does he really have that chance to do that now?
If he goes into that arena, for example, and I will only name one name, Jeff Hardy was in the ring, and there was another wrestler in the ring that we were giving a huge, huge push to. And all of a sudden, I looked at Dixie Carter and I said, "What do you hear out there?" Everything was Hardy, Hardy. And then as the match went on, I said, "What do you hear out there?" And so basically, the crowd predicted the storyline and the change in the storyline simply because week after week after week, everybody in the building was pushing for Hardy, not the guy that we had invested all the time in. So he does have that chance. Rockstar Spud does have that chance to go out and steal the thunder. He does have that chance to go out there and make his spot. He has that chance to create a new world for himself in this business. It's all on him. We have given him the opportunity. We threw him the football. He has to run with it now.
I was saying right at the start there, the British Boot Camp show has really been a bit of a revelation, really. It's one of those things where sometimes programs that are related to wrestling, I go back and remember, I don't know if you know of ITV Celebrity Wrestling. This was a atrocious television show that was wrestling centered. D'Lo Brown was actually part of it, Roddy Piper. It was a terrible show. Sometimes shows that are related to wrestling can sometimes be a bit on the sort of the naff scale, if you know the word naff.
I get a pretty good idea what you mean.
But this particular show was a genuinely good show. I got my girlfriend watching it alongside me. She's not really a fan at all, but she's saying, well, you know, oh, how can Spud do this and how can he do that and all that? Are there plans to do more boot camps, whether it be more British boot camps or whether it be taking it to other countries?
We had this discussion yesterday behind closed doors, and, you know, there was a suggestion to move to other countries. I think the overall consensus among Dixie and everybody involved, Jeremy Borash, Eric Bischoff, everybody feels there's a wealth of talent here. We're UK friendly. There's no reason to go anywhere else when we can come up with talent. I mean, the pool of talent that we tapped before, I would like to go back again to the same individuals and give a lot of those people another chance, because there's a wealth of talent here. This is like a gold mine for wrestling talent. So I vote to come back here year after year. I would like to do the show a couple times a year, you know, because we need, the nature of this business is a revolving door. You know, the nature of this business is to renew the talent and keep it fresh. So I vote for staying in the UK.
And I suppose what that kind of illustrates as well is that although TNA is an American company based in Nashville and Florida and things like that.
Why do you say that with a smirk on your face?
Well, I know what
the word Nashville.
Well, having seen the show, I've got Nashville.
I'm teasing you.
A very different light now. It looks like a hell of a place to go to. It's an American company, but here in Britain, it sort of TNA does huge numbers, whether it be in the arenas, whether it be on, you know, Challenge TV or whatever. I mean, what is it about TNA that's kind of tapped into this British market so much?
I think it's, God, there's so many facets. I mean, there's so many familiar faces that are with TNA. There's so many guys there that have a track record of being in this business and are established with the fans. Then alongside of that runs parallel, you've got the TNA originals, such as AJ Styles and Bobby Roode, these guys that are loyal to the company, that stood the test of time, that have just been the cornerstones of building this franchise. And I think there's a ton of respect that goes along with that. I also feel, having been in the WWE, having been in the WWF, having worked for Ted Turner, having worked for Shin Nippon Pro Wrestling in Japan for 20 years, I also feel that people originally thought this company might not last, that this would be a flash in the pan. And I think that TNA, with Dixie Carter at the helm, has proven that the company's not going away, that this little teeny company is starting to roar like a lion. And I feel that there's a groundswell of, if we are the underdog in whatever situation, I think there's a groundswell of the people in the UK getting behind us, the people in America getting behind us, wanting to see us win. That's what I feel is happening. I feel this company that is a little teeny engine has turned into a big monster. And at the end of the day, I predict victory for this company because everything is working all in sync. Everything's working together, going in the right direction. And I think this company's going to be around for a long time.
It's the UK tour this week. Some big shows ahead in major cities. What are we going to see on this tour? I mean, I guess that it's not just, particularly with the Manchester and London dates, they're not just sort of a bunch of wrestlers turn up and wrestle. There's a bit more going on, isn't there? Cameras and all kinds of things.
Well, Manchester and London, we're taking advantage of the energy. We're taking advantage of the live greatest wrestling crowds in the world to up the ante as far as our TV production. So in Manchester, we're filming two shows, and in London, we're filming two shows. And it's going to be exciting because the energy of the crowd, the louder they are, the crazier they are. The crazier the crowd is, it changes the performance level in the ring. So the fact that there are TV cameras and it is a production day and there's a lot of intensity, just to be intense and be on the edge with your nerves and walk out there in front of that crowd, it just sends you off like a rocket ship. So there's going to be a ton of great things happening, you know, in both cities as far as the TV goes, in Manchester and London.